We pray. Heavenly Father, heaven is aglow in your brilliance, your light, your glory, and we pray that your light might shine ever brighter in our hearts and lives. Through the power of your holy word, dear Lord, illumine us, that we might be drawn ever closer to you and walk in your goodness and grace, your truth and mercy, and bless us that we might be a blessing to all around us. In Christ, our Savior's name, we pray. Amen. Today, the gospel writer John takes us to a little town called Bethany. This Bethany is on the east side of the Jordan River, up on top of the mountain. I assume that the day started out rather normal. Kids milking goats, and wives weaving rugs, and men sharpening their sickles. People coming and going, and kicking up the dust on Main Street Bethany. Everything probably seemed rather normal until John the Baptist showed up. Ooh, what a sight. His robe made from the hair of camels, scratchy. A leather belt. He had come from his breakfast of grasshoppers and honey. And now he was out on the streets calling the people to him. He probably used this opportunity to teach them something more, and they flocked around. For us to look at him, we'd probably think he was a scary homeless man until we heard him. For the Holy Spirit was poured out on John the Baptist. Never did any miracles, but he spoke with the Spirit's grace and goodness and truth, and to the point where all Jerusalem emptied out and came down to the Jordan River just to hear him speak and to be baptized by him. Wow. So he's there in the streets of Bethany teaching, and all of a sudden, who should come but Jesus? I wonder if any of the people of the town recognized Jesus when he showed up. Maybe. But John the Baptist wasn't going to let this opportunity go by him. This was why he was born, the forerunner. He stops immediately what he's talking about, and he lifts his arm. And with the simplest words he can find, he says the most important words of all time. Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I have seen and I testify that he is the Son of God. Now, for most Americans, that might not exactly grab them. Lamb of God? Son of God? Lamb, is he a pet? Or what is this? But for the people of Bethany, they knew exactly what John the Baptist was talking about. For centuries, they had been waiting for God to fulfill his promise that he would send his son, born in Bethlehem, taking on human flesh to liberate his people. They understood that picture of the Lamb of God for morning, noon, and night. Throughout all their lives, lambs were sacrificed in Jerusalem. The blood would flow to make peace with God. And those are all just pictures of that one special lamb that God would choose to shed his blood to make peace, eternal peace. And so John's words rung in the deepest part of their hearts. For us, we might more say, behold, Jesus, the Savior of the world. But it's interesting, John records that John the Baptist the next day was out on the streets again, and it happened all over again. Here comes Jesus. And again he says, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This time he has two disciples with him specifically. And the disciples do exactly what John wanted them to do. They leave John and they start following Jesus. They want to spend the day with him. They want to hear him, this Lamb of God. And boy, by the end of the day, Andrew was so filled He was busting at the seams to go and find his brother. He didn't want lunch. He didn't want supper. There was nothing more important to him than going and sharing the news, we have found the Messiah, the Christ, who our people have been waiting for all of time. He's now walking in our streets. Come and see. Remarkable news. If only we had a John the Baptist today, huh? To speak in power and wisdom, oh, the pews would be filled, even on a cold day like today. He would have everyone in Antioch emptying out and coming. But perhaps we do have a John the Baptist today, or a lot of John the Baptists to a certain degree. For God calls all of us. Calls all of us to do this simple thing that John the Baptist, with what simple words we have to say the most important words that would ever come out of our mouths, to point out Jesus to those standing around us. Who is he? But how do we do that? Well, on Wednesday evenings, we have a Bible study that revolves around a book by Pastor Mark Paustin called Prepared to Answer. And in that, he shares in his introduction a conversation he had just a couple days before he began writing this book. He was going to get his hair cut. He was sitting in the chair. The stylist was starting to cut his hair, Kayla. And he had a book in his lap that prominently had the name of Jesus in its title. And so as she's cutting along, she sparks up a conversation. She says, you know, when I was a little girl, my parents used to fight a lot. No, I mean fight physically. She said, when I was 8 years old, I had to get between them to stop one of their fights. And then she said, and one night when I went to bed, all of a sudden, a man came into my room. He sat by the side of my bed. I could barely see him, but I'm convinced that was Jesus. And then Pastor Paustin, in his introduction, asked, what would you do? If you were in that chair getting your hair cut, what would you say? Would you try to convince her? Wow. That wasn't Jesus. You saw something. Jesus doesn't make guest appearances anymore. Who are we to say who Jesus can go and visit or not? Or would you simply just hand her the pastor's telephone number or tell her the times of the worship services? Well, she might take you up on that, or she might not. Pastor Paustin did a very natural and yet creative thing. He took his knowledge of Jesus' life, what he did and what he said, and he combed through it to marry an event in Jesus' life with an event in her life. He said to Kayla, well, I remember a time when Jesus came into the bedroom of a little girl. Her father had gone in search for him. She was very sick, and he was afraid she was going to die, and so he went searching for Jesus. And Jesus said, yes, I'll come. He was delayed because he was busy doing another miracle for someone, and by the time they got to the father's house, the news came, your daughter's dead. Oh, the tears flowed. But Jesus said, have faith, be calm. And he went in. And he went into this little girl's bedroom. And he took her by the hand and he said, little girl, get up. And with that, the life came back into her. And she sat up and her parents' tears turned to songs of joy. And then Pastor Paustin took it the next step and said, you know, I believe that Jesus still comes to people and brings them alive. Brings them alive. Even though they are physically alive, they're dead inside because they don't know him. And with that very sweet word, he comes and gives life where there's only death. He gave life to that little girl, and then he goes and ends up surrendering his life, allowing wicked people to put him to death so that he can give us all a different kind of life, not just physical, but eternal life. He paid for our sins on the cross. He's the one who made himself come back alive after 3 days and rise in victory. That's the Jesus we know. And so he went on to tell her about Gethsemane and more about the resurrection and how Jesus said, "Be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven." That's the whole point. And how he had appeared to the disciples, and he said, "Don't be afraid. Peace be with you." And as his words were hitting Kayla's ears, you could see a transformation. Out of the suffocating fog of religion stepped Jesus into her heart and life. It wasn't about denominations anymore. It was about knowing her Savior, a modern-day epiphany, an eternal epiphany, for God's light had shone in our hearts and lives. There is power in what Jesus has done and what Jesus has said. The gospel writer John puts it this way: "These words are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." Have you ever thought of giving your family or friends an epiphany present? What better present can there be than a story about Jesus, what he's done, what he's said, and how it plugs into their life, how it brings them back to that cross and that empty grave? Plant a seed. A seed of the gospel in their minds or in their hearts. Give them a picture of Jesus that they will hold on to for years and years of what he has done. We have been blessed to learn so much about Jesus' life, and that's been such a treasure for our hearts and souls, but to see it as a treasure that we can share with others, others who've never heard anything about Jesus, perhaps. For the lady who just doesn't feel like God could ever forgive her, oh, that she could hear those stones dropping in the dirt, those stones that were collected for this woman caught in adultery where they were going to stone her. But Jesus disarmed her enemies. He stunned them all when he simply says, "I don't condemn you." Or for the man who's struggling with doubt, what a change that might mean for him to hear about Peter sinking in the water. All Peter can do in his distress is cry out, "Lord, save me." And what does the Lord do? He reaches out and saves him. That's what our Savior does. What a holy pleasure it is when someone is so afraid, terrified of death that's coming, and for us to bring him or her and have them kneel next to Mary before Jesus' empty tomb. She was crushed. She had lost it all. Jesus was her all. And until, of course, her whole life was turned around with a simple word: Mary. What would we tell someone who's running away from the Lord? "I don't need him. I don't need any God." Or someone who's totally destroyed their lives because they have been running away from the Lord. Jesus told a parable about a young man who wanted nothing from his father except his money, thought he could do so much better for himself, and ran off. Well, he ran. He ruined himself. He returned in repentance, and what does the father do? He runs to him and throws his arms around him and kisses him and puts a ring on his finger and a robe on his back and welcomes him back into the family. Why did Jesus tell that parable? So that the father might come out of this fog of religion and false teachings and confusion, and that they might have an epiphany to see the love and the mercy of their heavenly Father as he wraps his arms around us. If you think about it, somebody has been John the Baptist to you and me, to take us by the hand and either from the baptismal font or reading Bible stories at home or taking him to church, we say, look, the Lamb of God. And that glorious light of God shone upon us. And now he calls for us to be an Andrew, to go in search of your brother or your sister, your neighbor, your friend, even your enemy, and to point out Jesus to all those standing around. Amen. Please rise. We pray. Heavenly Father, God of all grace and glory, use us, use our time, our energy. May the word you have planted in our heart be also on our tongues, that we might share your grace and goodness with all those around us, to your glory and a blessing to many hearts and lives. In Christ our Savior, amen.